It's a freaking bear.
Welcome to episode 6 of Double Dodge. We've called this one A Chat with Trent and Toya, Australian Guildball's first family. We're looking at it through the lens of Women's Weekly, and we get intimate. We get intimate with both Trent and Toya, and we learn a bit more about the man behind the chin.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 6, Cam.
Thank you. Yes, I'm glad to be here. We had a good little chat with Trent. For those of you who have been under a rock and don't follow the Guildball national results, Trent, Mr. One, Trent Dennison, won the Australian Championship. And so naturally we got him on and wanted to have a chat. But we also wanted to see the other side of things, didn't we, and have a chat to his better half, Toya.
Yes, and I think better half is an accurate description. Toya is a firecracker in human form, and you know, it was good to get a bit more insight into you know, family life at the Trent Dennison household.
Yeah, absolutely.
All things, you know, Guildball and furniture moving.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, this is what life can be all about, especially when you get to that kind of level of, you know, balancing life and gaming as well. You and I know that quite well. So. This week the chat was quite a long one, so we encompassed our car ball into that because we do a recap of our games at the Nationals, which was pretty cool. And yeah, I thought that was good to kind of get a bit of analysis, as much as Trent likes to analyse us and rib us, get a bit of an analysis from him as well, back on, you know, how we went and, you know, mistakes, etc.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it's one third analysis, two thirds him just like laying shit down wherever he feels.
Yeah.
And you know, we have fun along the way. It's like it's a real road trip of a podcast this time around.
Yeah, it is. It is. So slightly different to the other ones, but definitely worth a listen. Did you have any news and announcements before we get cracking on this one?
Well, Campbell, before we jumped onto the old recording device, I think you told me that we needed to speak to people about the upcoming British Champs, the 8th and 9th of October at Firestorm Games. That's going to be a big one. It's almost like in Ghostbusters how you know, Zool starts to take over that tenement building and all the ghosts gather and the end of the world is nigh. I feel like we're getting to that with Worlds.
You know, yeah, absolutely.
We're seeing all these spectral entities gather, and Brit Champs is obviously a big one in all of that.
So Trent is the keymaster or the gatekeeper at this point?
It's hard to say, isn't it? But I feel if he was going to be either, he'd probably be more Sigourney Weaver than Rick Moranis.
Yeah, I'm going Sigourney Weaver. I think his height probably lends himself. I mean, she's pretty mean and tough. I think, definitely Sigourney Weaver.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's because Trent probably looks better in a dress.
Yes. Yes, that's probably accurate as well.
Yeah.
One of the other things I think we should just shout out to our sponsor, Big Daryl from NerdvanaGamesSA.com. He's a sponsor for the for our podcast. So if for all your Guildball needs, jump on there and suss him out.
Yep, it keeps him in heroin on a fortnightly basis. So, you know, you buy your crack, he buys his.
Exactly. It's a win-win proposition, really.
It really is. And I also wanted to chuck a big hello to Tobias Ford and Jesse Heiss, both of who we met at Nationals. Tobias is Brisbane-based. Jesse is Melbourne-based. Both cracking blokes. Really, really awesome dudes, and we had a good time catching up with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, probably the only disappointment was I definitely got to play Tobias. I know you've played him online a bit, but I didn't get a game in with Jesse. We'll look at doing that next time. Hopefully we get to CanCon, which is our next kind of big event in January, and we can get a few games in against those blokes if they trundle to Canberra as well.
Yep, we'll chuck the scrub marine in the water and we'll sail it over to Canberra.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Want to get into it?
I reckon we do it.
All right, let's go. So we have on the line Trent Dennison himself, all the way from wild and woolly Queensland, the man, the myth, the chin, Australian Guildball champion 2016, Trenton Dennison. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We feel very welcome.
You should feel very welcome.
So we want to get into this, Dano. We don't want to waste your time because we know that time is money and you're a busy man and you've got things to do. So we want to ask you three questions as per our usual routine. Our first question is, do you have anything you'd like to say to Alex Botts?
No, I'm pretty sure I covered that on Twitter. I didn't miss him, did I?
No, you didn't, mate. You didn't. I think you'd call it a headshot, and you wouldn't be generous about it.
No.
He's a special guy. He wants to fight everybody. That kind of anger can be constructive, can lead to the dark side. Alex, what are you doing?
You don't wake the dragon. You don't wake the dragon.
Don't wake the dragon.
You heard That's a Game of Thrones reference there for people that are into that sort of shit.
Yeah. I hear Alex has a thing for Dothraki.
Well, he's in good company then.
Second question, Dano. Is Guild Ball easy?
It's certainly not easy, but I think I got the general gist of what those fucking idiots were trying to say, and I think I agree with their premise. But I don't think the game itself is easy.
Okay. Third question, Dano. Have you rearranged any balcony furniture lately?
I have, actually, yeah. It was a tremendous Sunday evening after a long day of tournamenting. My girlfriend decided that we would move the deck around, which was great. It took me about an hour and a half, so that was awesome.
It's a taste of married life to come. I'm almost certain of it. And we should probably say hello to Toya as well. Big shout out to Toya. What a woman to put up with.
Do you want me to get her on?
Yeah, that'd be awesome, yeah.
Toya, come here. They want to talk to you. She's a good egg.
Did Toya get the letter? Did she sign off on it?
Yeah, she'd like to talk to you about the letter, actually. Here she is, Toya. Come and say hello. Put on the headphones. This is my girlfriend, Toya, everyone.
Fiancé now.
This is Campbell and David speaking to the microphone.
This is his fiancé, Toya.
Congratulations,
Toya. Oh, yeah, my fiancé. Yep, fiancé. Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm really good at this fiancé stuff.
You're doing well. You're rearranging furniture.
Sorry, Travis is talking.
Yeah, Toya, we just wanted to get some idea as to how the balcony's looking now.
It looks beautiful. It's much better this way. It should have happened a lot earlier.
And, I mean, do you blame yourself for that, or is that just Trent, you know, being Trent?
No, I don't blame anybody for it. It was a really heavy table. We got it in, we left it.
Right.
Yeah, I got it in.
Right.
Fucking heavy.
So, are you a lifter or a leaner, Toya?
I'm a nothing. I stupidvise.
I see. You're the brains.
Management. Love it.
Yeah, excellent. I'm the brains of the organisation.
Right.
Yeah. Nice.
Did you want to like maybe give us a little insight into life with Trent? You know, his foibles, his charms.
I'd love you to give me insight as to what you think life with Trent would be like.
Well, the first I'd ever seen of Trent was when he rocked up in a fucking Hilux ute wearing thongs and sculling a monster drink, and I thought, oh yeah, I'm in Queensland. So I had no real preconception beyond that, but he certainly lives up to the expectation.
What expectation is that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, as I was standing in the shadow of his chin, looking up at him, going, what manner of beast is this? You know, I realized that there was the glimmer of intelligence behind those eyes, and over the next 2 days, I realized friendship, Toya.
You realized friendship?
It's basically like a Disney movie story arc, you know? Boy meets
it's
beast.
It's kind of like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that's right. A boy befriends beast. Beast wins Guild Ball tournament.
Like every other time, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got a
knack. Toya's rubbing it in now, so.
it's annoying. Stop fucking winning, Trent. Stop going overseas. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying.
Okay.
Should he just defer to, like, the last person he lost to or something like that? I think that'd be, you know, good policy.
No, I think Simon Hall should go.
Nips.
Only if he doesn't come back.
Oh, you guys are awful.
Nah, Nips is all right. He's all right.
Nips is all right.
I wouldn't go beyond that.
That's not very nice.
Oh, look, I'd fish him out of a river.
You have such high praise for Trent, and then you're like, oh, nips.
Yeah, but Trent gave us a lift in the Hilux. He's a good bloke.
Twice. Three times. He even got us to the airport.
Three times?
Yeah. Three times.
Did he offer you any of his Monster?
No, but I'm weird about drinking from other people's drinks anyway, so it was okay.
Yeah, it'd be like kissing him.
Trent's not supposed to be drinking Monsters.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe it wasn't a Monster then. Yeah. Maybe it was something else. I don't know.
It definitely was. I found it in the car, hidden in a shoe.
Wasn't hidden in a shoe.
It was hidden in the shoe.
I put it in there so it wouldn't be rolling around, so it wouldn't get in people's way when they sat in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was Jeez. A huge can of Monster.
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting.
Was it like a clown
500 mils of piss.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's Trent's shoe.
Yeah, I think we should just do this podcast with you, Toya. This is deeply entertaining.
I'm much funnier than Trent is.
Yeah, you're all right. You go all right.
I'm all right. Just all right.
Well, you're better than Nips, like, by a margin.
You said it so disdainfully for Nips. I'm concerned that it's the same one.
No, it's not the same one.
Not the same one.
I give you Campbell's word.
So did you get our letter of request for Trent's time? Is that okay? Oh. Like, how many hours of housework does he have to actually do?
Oh, I actually hated it. I hated the letter.
You hated the letter?
I'm really sorry. I hated it.
Oh, no. It was on letterhead and everything. I've put a lot of effort.
Yeah, well, firstly, learn how to write a formal letter.
Okay. Is it this point that I tell you that I'm, like, completely dyslexic? So, you know, yeah. That's okay.
You can be dyslexic. There was nothing grammatically incorrect with the actual letter. There was just nothing else that you would include in a letter, like the date, all of that junk. Okay. Yeah.
Like address and all that. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I probably should have signed it too as well. Yeah, that would have gone down well.
Yeah.
Apologies for that. I'll run it past the boss next time and get a proper sent.
No, don't waste paper.
This may shock you may be shocked to learn this, Toya, but we're not a professional outfit.
Oh really? Are you certain?
I'm quite certain.
You know how they say dress for the job you want, not the job that you have? Letterhead for the job that you want, not the job that you have.
Letterhead. Brilliant. Mm. That's going to be the title of the podcast, I think.
Dress for the job you want.
Just letterhead for the job you want. Letterhead for the deno that you want.
I'm good with Toya. Let's just keep talking to Toya.
I don't know very many things about toy soldiers, though.
Well, what do you know about Toya? Tell us about you.
You asked two different questions. Which one would you like me to answer? Tell us about me or do I know about toy soldiers?
Tell us about you, Toya.
I'm dating Trent Dennison.
Well, it's more than dating at this point, isn't it?
Dating. Fiancé.
Yes. Right. I'm going to marry him.
Oh, that's...
When's the wedding?
April.
Nice. Good time of year. Have you lined up the venue and started crossing off all the cousins that you don't want to invite and that kind of thing?
None of them are invited, so that was an easy list.
That is the best way to do it too, because as soon as you get one in, then you've got to invite them all and they complain and they eat all your food and you get crap presents from them. Yeah, been there.
You don't even want them there anyway. Trent's inviting some of his, but I've invited none of mine.
Brilliant.
Trent's got no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. That's fine.
Why don't you like your family, Toya? That seems like a red flag if you're getting married.
Oh, no, I love my family. I just don't like my extended family, but they also don't like us. We're just very different people.
Oh, I see. Are you the black sheep?
My brother and I, yes.
Excellent. I entirely approve of that.
We both have university degrees, which means we're disgusting, apparently.
Right, yeah, you're a... bunch of weird eggheads.
Okay. I know. Who would?
Mm.
Yeah. Don't worry. You're not alone in that. Campbell is also a black sheep.
Yeah.
Oh, yes?
Yes, he is. He was cast out at a young age, but he has dragged himself up by his bootstraps.
Mm. Congratulations. Right. Best way to go.
Thank you. Yeah.
We're really proud of him.
I'm still trying to write letters. That sounds really lovely. Can't write a letter.
You can't write a letter.
You certainly cannot write a letter. You'll get there, though.
Yeah,
how did you get through uni without writing a letter?
I have no sympathy, I think. Genuinely, they all felt sorry for me. They looked at this guy and went, he cannot spell for shit. All right. He literally can't spell for shit. And, yeah, so they thought, let's just let him through. He can draw pretty pictures and, you know, make things look nice. So we'll go with that.
I'm sure that's not how it actually went, but.
It's not far
Yeah.
off.
Yeah.
He had give like, yourself a lot less credit than you're due, but that's all right.
He had like a helper dog for a lot of uni.
A helper dog?
Yeah, just to help him get to class and stuff, because he couldn't read signs.
And the dog can.
No, but the dog knew the way.
Ah, see.
You just like.
I want to apply for a dog. I want to apply for a helper dog. I want to go to my doctor and be like, I'm way too anxious to do anything. I require my dog to come with me everywhere.
And the first thing that would happen is he'd look at your degree and say, "No, this is not going to fly."
I have a degree in justice. It would totally fly.
Well, yeah. So they used to give the dog Campbell's timetable at the start of the year, get the dog to sniff it, and after that, the dog would know where to take Campbell. It was, I don't know what the training involves, but I was impressed.
Amazing.
I know, right?
Like Lassie, but only better.
It's like your tax dollars at work right there.
Yeah. What else would you want your tax dollars to go to?
Justice.
That is justice.
Keeping power in an entire state? I don't know. I think that's pretty cool.
Alrighty, I'm going to give you back to Trent.
That's all right. Thanks, Thank Toya. You for your time, Toya.
You're the best.
Don't worry. Farewell.
See ya.
Close it up. Toya.
Please don't bark at me.
Close it up.
Please don't bark at me.
Hello, friends.
Hello, Trent.
Hello.
She's a cracker, mate.
Rock solid chick.
Yep.
Awesome. Rock solid chick. It's going to be a good wedding. All of your cousins and none of hers. Fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, just to, you know, slowly bring us back to the Guild Ballness of this Guild Ball podcast, we obviously travelled up to the Big Blue to three scrubs from Adelaide to have a bit of Guild Ball action. And I obviously wanted to get a recap of how your games went down because we were at other tables and obviously we got a little bit of an idea. But can you give us a rundown of your games and how the tournament kind of went down?
Yeah, have you talked about your games already, have you?
No, we'll talk about them in a separate kind of segment.
Why?
Because
can't we do it together?
We don't want to shame ourselves, mate. We, you know, it's like you don't put your rotten fruit with your good fruit.
Well, you do if you want to be funny.
All right, yeah. All right. Let's go for it. All right.
Okay. Yeah. So round one. Trent.
No, you're wrong. You guys are doing it wrong. You got to talk about the weekend and talk about the trip first. Mm-hmm. Do it properly, you clowns. Fucking hell.
Well,
it was a fucking novice podcast. Did you know that?
Trip was awesome, and it started out awesome because Campbell wound up on the plane next to this like partially deaf, partially blind old nonna who took a real shine to him.
She loved me.
She loved
she
you.
She loved me.
She
did. Yeah.
What's the flight from Adelaide? About 2.5 hours, is it? Same
yeah,
as Melbourne,
about 2.5 hours. We had a tailwind though.
2 hours up, 2 hours and five. On the way back, it was about 3 hours. We had like the headwinds going back, which was garbage.
Yeah, that's the same as going down to Melbourne. It's always like that.
That's gross. It was like us going to Perth. I didn't realise like how bad it was. So, yeah. So, yeah, I got a good amount of time to have a chat to this, my brand new nonna. She was new to flying. I got to help her out.
Had she never flown before or?
I think she had, but, you know, just the whole concept of a tray table and how that worked and, you know, interactions with the staff. But, yeah, I helped her out. By the end of it, she did basically say that I treated her like, you know, a grandma or a mother. So, yeah, I think I've definitely got a safe haven there. If the Adelaide Mafia want to take me out, I'm sure I can just bring her name up and I'll be cleared of anything. So,
there was one part during the flight where Cam and I were talking. And we're talking about something, I can't remember what, but something
I think
so
it was
horrible.
The male anatomy.
So something so horrible that it causes your testicles to retract so far that you have to try and lure them out with a piece of cheese. And Campbell fucking packs up laughing, and I pack up laughing, and the nonna looks at us laughing and starts laughing as well, with no idea of what we're laughing about. So we're all fine friends from that moment on.
Can I tell you a funny story? So we're traveling back from WTC last year with Whaley, and it was me, Moops, and Whaley. And I told Whaley on the flight over, mate, you've got to watch Pitch Perfect, a fucking classic film. You'll absolutely love it. And Whaley was like, oh, I'm not watching that fucking, it's all about young girls, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, no, mate, it's a really good movie. Anyway, so we finally convinced him to watch it, but we're on the final trip. We're on the final leg of the trip, which is we're flying from Sydney to Brisbane. And Whaley puts this fucking Pitch Perfect on, and it was number 2. Have you guys seen Pitch Perfect, by the way?
Yeah.
No.
So, I have my God, okay. So, yeah, I've seen it.
So it was number 2. And it starts off with Rebel Wilson just getting her crotch out in front of a big crowd of people. And Whaley has just lost his shit in the middle of this aeroplane. Like, we were directly over the wing. He's lost it, right? He was laughing so loud, people from about 5 rows away were, like, getting up out of their seats and looking at him to see if he was having a heart attack or something. Anyway, so this is in the first 2 minutes of the film. For the remainder of the 55-minute flight to Sydney, every few minutes, Whaley just explodes with laughter and just, like, so loud. It started off, people were getting really angry at him, like, because he was so loud. Like, they were turning around going, is this guy for real? Like, are you fucking kidding me, mate? Does he need to do this? After about 20 minutes, right, everyone on the flight just started laughing. He just started laughing out of nowhere. And the whole fucking plane, about 5 rows around us, would just start laughing with him. It was incredible. I've never had anything like it. They all hated him, and then all of a sudden, by the end of it, they loved him. And people were high-fiving him as he got off the plane. Oh, incredible. Okay, that's my story done. Thank you.
what was this story that caused the fucking Twitter storm between you and Alex? Something about Cena and Perkins and...
Oh, yeah, so... Perkins and I were playing a game a while back, which was he was using hunters and I was using butchers, and he was like, this is only really early on with the hunters. He was like, well, yeah, so, you know, hunters, you know, you got to watch out for this and this. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool, man. So this is my first time playing against hunters. And he won initiative and charged Cena into Brisket, which I was sort of not expecting. He managed to take out Brisket and get the bonus VP. So I was like, well, that's fucking shit. But then... as the turn progressed, I started racking up some bonuses. So I knocked him down and I singled him out with Avarice. I put 1,000 cuts on him with Shank. And I crowded him out 3 times. So, like, I was rolling 14 or 15 dice per swing. And it was at this point that he started to realize that some of his other players were potentially too close to the danger zone. Because my next play was to activate Ox and pop my legendary. And then my final play of the turn, which because of the Avarice and Greed effect was not much he could do about, gutter walk forward, hit Cena. On the first swing, she chain grabbed 2 models in because she hit 12 hits or something. So she momentously chain grabbed 2 guys in. And then from that point, she did... sliding blows, and she did 2 per swing. I think she might have even got 3 on one as well. And unsurprisingly, wrecked those 3 players. Oh. And Jamie had like started to turn super bad this game. By the end of it, he was like, I fucking hate this game. Just some ghetto magic for you. So that's what I was fucking talking about, Alex. You fucking idiot.
Man, the audio just crapped out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I swore at Alex, I called him a fucking idiot.
Yeah, well...
Yeah. No, we caught that bit. We recorded that bit.
That's okay. You're such a has-been, Deno. You're such a has-been.
I know. Absolute has-been.
How do you even get out of bed in the morning, mate?
I struggle. Struggle every day.
Every day you're struggling?
Every day I'm struggling.
You just have a monster in the morning and just don't tell
please. Her. So, thanks for crushing my fucking life there. I'm going to stop you for that. I'm dead.
Picture the back of your ute shoes stuffed with empty monster cans. That was a fucking big can of monster as well.
Normal size, mate. I'm a big lad. Oh, you may not have noticed.
I see. Yeah, no, the trip was good. Queensland, man. You guys turned on the weather for us as well. It was beautiful.
We didn't turn anything on, mate. That's just what it's like all the time, pal.
Mm. Well, you will be happy to know we came back to fucking the apocalypse.
So how's your power situation going?
It's all right now. Yeah, it was a bit dark there for a while.
It was. I got a repeat last night. It was, we cut out on and off again last night. It was good fun. Although it came on just in time for me to go around and get a couple of games of Guild Ball in with Dave, so that's fine. So, yeah.
But in good news, I heard that South Australia is now the first state to have zero carbon emissions for the...
We did it.
For the month.
We did it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well done.
What a state. State of exhilaration right now.
It's funny the people that don't even, like, you know, there's, like, most people know where their candles are and shit like that. You know, I don't know. I grew up with the occasional blackout. I had a neighbour across the road, three kids. She's walked across, like, you know, is your power out? Yeah. And I said, you know, I think the whole state's out. Okay, no worries. She's like, oh, you got candles. I'm like, you don't have candles? No, I'm just running off the laptop. I'm like, Don't you think that's going to cut out at some point?
That'll work well. That's a good long-term strategy.
Exactly. It's not really survivalist, is it? So, yeah, no. So, today's back on. I think we've got a couple of couple of fat blokes just riding a couple of treadmills, and that's just pumping enough to get the power going. So that's all right. Enough to get Skype going anyway.
Move to Brisbane.
I'll tell you what, it was tempting. I went for a walk around your lovely city on the Monday, and just really, really nice place. I'm going to go back and spend some proper time there, I think.
Mm. No, you definitely should. It's a good town. I like this one.
Yeah, Goma, the Gallery of Modern Art and your art gallery, very nice.
Do they still have that Wolves exhibit going on, or was that one gone now?
No, that one's
probably
gone.
Gone, actually. Yeah.
But I went to the Gallery of Modern Art, went upstairs, and there's this big installation piece. It's like this huge red metal ring set in a wall. It's like massive. And then it sort of goes backwards and shrinks into this like black void. And I stared into it for a good 15 minutes, and I left just fucking... Oh, my God, I was not in a good mental state at the end of that. Art.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's supposed to work, too, you know?
Yeah, well... I didn't even pay for it. What an experience. Existentialist dread was great.
Existentialist dread, are you ready to talk about your games yet?
Yeah. It sounds like you're keen too.
No, I'll talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
How good a bloke I am by picking you up.
Yeah, you're a fucking legend.
So Saturday morning, we've coordinated... the good Mr. Trent Dennison to pick us up, although neither of us could work out where the other fucking was. So Trent's got guns in the car, who's wanting to get to the venue to set up, is that right? And Gav's like on it and saying, hey, you know, you gotta get here. We're wandering around. Eventually, we find this guy in a big white Hilux, jump in the car and drive on down to the venue at, what was it, 8:30 in the morning? 8:32, I think we got there.
But it was good value, though, wasn't it? You'd rather be there early than late.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, you know, it was a good chance for us, given that we've come from interstate, to, you know, suss out the tournament. There were a few other tournaments running. There was, an Armada, was there an X-Wing? And then a War Machine one as well. There was a few...
It was an X-Wing tournament, but I think it was the Armada Nationals, so...
Okay. Well, that was the smelly end of the room anyway, so it's fun.
It was a big room. So, it was full of people. That was a good event. Really well run as well. You know, Irresistible Force are the game store that ran the event, and they did a fantastic job, so massive shout-out to them.
You don't have to shout-out, Gavin. Fucking idiot.
Sorry, I was going to say, I'll shout-out the dice he was giving out, because I was playing Dave last night, and they just fucking exploded. Like, they just roll fives and sixes. They're brilliant.
Yeah, we're calling him Magic Dice Dandy now.
Except when I need a tap in on a, you know, four dice shot anyway, but we'll get to that. So on the Saturday, Mr. Dennison was looking for a game. I oblige, because I thought, hey, let's play a game. Dennison, do you want to take us through that game?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I always, whenever I go to a tournament, I got spare time, I try to play people that I don't normally get to play. So I was lucky I got to play both you clowns, and I also got to play Peter from New Zealand, which was good. Yeah, so we had a Blackheart versus Blackheart match, which was very interesting. We don't have an awful lot of Union players up here in Brisbane that play Blackheart. Most of them love the Vet Rage. So
yeah, there was a lot of Vet Rage at the tournament.
Yeah, we got like three Vet Rage players and no one playing Blackheart. So my goal in the game was to not give away any of my Mad Dog tech. So I managed to do that by losing 12-6. Was it 12-6? I can't remember. I think it was 12-6.
I reckon it's 12-8. I reckon you were threatening at the end.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had one activation where... Yeah, I recall now. Yeah, so I got to... you scored a goal on me, and then I held the thing, and I managed to get to 8, and then I had the ball back, and I was just about to score again, but you took out two players like a fucking dickhead.
Apparently. So, yeah, I like the idea of playing, you know, playing different people before the game and before the tournament, sorry. And I do like the idea of, you know, sussing out their tech. And I was pretty sure that's what you were basically doing, is looking at all the interstate guys and going, yeah, who do we need to keep an eye on here, work out what they do. And I pretty much gave everything away to you. So in terms
of... Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, it was good. I was able to discern a few interesting facts about how you guys played. So I played... Young David next. How'd that go, mate? I can't remember the result. What was the score?
I can't remember either.
I think it was 12-2, actually, now that I think about it.
it might have been, mate, but I really wasn't. I was just enjoying the experience.
Yeah. For as little experience as it was, a shorter time as you got out of it.
Fuck off.
Boy, but what about the fact that I fucking wrecked you, eh? No, you lost an initiative roll. Was it plus two?
Yeah, it was a plus two. And it just swung the game, you know.
And I was just like, shredding you after that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just, the reason it was awesome is I just thought scored a goal. And I think I was at two that point. So I went to six. And then because I won initiative, I just went and scored another goal with missed and went to 10. And you were just like, this game's fucked. I fucking hate this fucking game. And other random expletives like that.
Well, I think I said, you're fucked. I like the game. it was all right. Like, it was just one of those games, mate. You know, I've been smashed in the face enough times over the internet by you to not worry too much. But, yeah.
I never have those games, funnily enough.
You don't?
Just one of those games? Never have those.
I don't know, man. People say you're a has-been.
Yeah, I am a has-been.
So, yeah, you played another practice game after that against Peter, who pulled
Peter Williamson. Yeah, it was good. We did actually get to play at another stage in the tournament, which was awesome. So I had a fair idea how he played, but he managed to sneak a win in that one, 12-10, and it was pretty tight. Pretty tight game in the end. The thing that probably won in the game, because I was on 10 and I just needed one takeout, and I had Honor surrounded by three players in Blackheart's Commanding Aura range. And I had used my Legendary, and I walked Avarice into it. Now, because of the Legendary, I was Defense 4. And because of the crowding, I think he was rolling 5 dice, because Avarice was also crowded out in return. And he managed to roll 5 4s. And did you know that Honor has a double push in her playbook? I certainly didn't.
Well,
yep.
That was a good time to learn that lesson.
It's on 5 hits, for interest. Good, it's on 5 hits, out of interest. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, rolling 4s is a thing, it turns out.
I'd rather be lucky than good.
Oh, it's much better.
Much more reliable strategy.
Mm. Yeah, to quote the great Jordan Knack, I feel like hope is not a strategy.
True. Very true. Yeah, so it's good. We had a good morning, I think. We just got to all hang out and play some games, which was cool.
Mm. It was, yeah. It was awesome, man. Just, like, awesome seeing everybody rock up and, you know, catching up with people who I've talked to over the internet or on Vassal. Like, got to chat to Tobias Ford, who came second, I think.
He did.
Yeah, great guy. You know, got to see the prototype of Judgment as well, that Guns Galea is, about to put on Kickstarter. I think it's what? Start of next
Kickstarter?
Year?
Kickstarter? In January, yeah, the official Kickstarter launch is the weekend of CanCon, which is the 27th, 28th, 29th, I think, this year, of of January, so it's going to go live at CanCon. They're going to have a stall there showing off the game and hopefully having a couple of bits and pieces there for people to try out and then see how we go.
Where can people find information about that on the internet? Like, is there a website up and running yet?
Yeah, it's www.judgment.game. Actually, it might not even be www. I'm pretty shit at this internet thing. Let me just check my telephone because I have a link on here. Excuse me for a moment. This is magnificent radio, by the way.
I'm not even going to edit this out.
No, please don't. Yeah, it's just judgment.game. That's the internet site, apparently.
Yep.
I didn't even know you could do that with internet sites, but there you go.
Yeah, so it's like a alternate activation game based on MOBAs in a circular battle arena, and it just, like, it's super slick, moves really fast. Great art as well, so it's worth a look.
Check out the site on the homepage. It's got the first kind of sculpted model, which is just looks wicked. They're 50 mil base, is it?
It is. It's a 54 mil scale on 50 mil bases. So trying to do something a bit different to everything that's out there now. I don't think there's very many games that use 54 mil models. The last one I can remember is Inquisitor. Do you remember Inquisitor?
That was a fucking bad game. I've got some models right next to me from that.
Yeah. I used to love Inquisitor, man. It's a fucking great game. I used to work for G-Dub back then when that came out, and I was fucking right into Inquisitor, right into it.
Yeah, never played it.
No,
that was actually a shit game, but...
Well, it was a bit more role-playing, so it was more about the story than it was about... It wasn't like a technically, you know, sound kind of, you know, competitive experience.
But you wouldn't really call any GW game a technically sound experience.
So that is a very valid point, yes.
But so, no, it was a good visual game.
Yeah, absolutely. So check out Judgment for sure. I just jumped on the site for the first time. I actually had a really good chat. So after, at the end of this tournament, I know we're jumping right to the end, Trent dropped us off at the airport, and I got a really good chat for about an hour with Mr. Galea, and we talked all things Judgment, which was really cool, just getting an insight into the game and like how the characters were developed and that kind of thing. So, yeah, really cool.
So, first round eventually rolled around. And who did you get paired with, Cam?
Who did I get? I got Mr. Chris Stratford. Is that right?
Stratty.
So, really nice guy. Mortician's player. Sorry, Obulus player. I don't believe he had Scalpel in his list. So a rundown of my game. I can't remember all of the ins and outs, but I got an early kind of lead. I got that early on goal and a takeout. I was playing my Blackheart list, obviously. I didn't take Vet Rage. And I pretty much played the same six players the whole time. So Blackheart Coin, Decimate, Avarice and Greed. Sorry, seven players. Avarice and Greed, Mist, and then Rage. In hindsight, I like, and I think Deno did this a bit, with Gutter instead of Rage, because there are a couple of situations where that threat range extension from Gutter is massive, and tooling up from Rage is great, but sometimes, you know, if he just doesn't have anyone to deal with, then...
tooling up is also very telegraphed.
Yeah, absolutely, and, it's an activation.
When you take tooled up off the table, because in a lot of cases, you know, you want to go first with Blackheart and get up Commanding Aura, you find that tooled up is actually not that useful. And then because Rage is Rage, people that know how to control him can really shut him down. So I didn't play Rage at all on the weekend.
And I probably by the end of the weekend kind of noticed that in my own game, that there were a couple of situations, that he just became redundant. You know, even though he's only taking one influence, you're not getting that full momentum that you really want. Players by the top end of the game or the top end of the tournament kind of know how to deal with it. So,
Turn, tooling up Blackheart is fucking amazing. But after that, it drops in value significantly.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to a pretty handy leader. I kind of got to about 8-2 or 8-4. He fought back because I killed a few of my models and scored a goal. I got to 8-all. I'd pretty much won the battle in the middle. Obulus had come straight past me to score the goal. and come into my backfield. And then I had a situation where he'd basically I'd got the ball back out. He'd engineered to get the ball loose in the middle of the park. And this is where I reckon this is what differentiates mediocre players like myself to good players is minimizing mistakes. I made a fatal mistake. I missed in to secure the ball when I probably had black heart, and I even measured it. I could have jumped back a little bit. He was just over the halfway line in the middle, grabbed the ball and then moved off to my right, which is away from his missed, secure the ball for another turn. No, I get the momentum. I had Gast on about two, and I reckon I had a charge lane on Greed the next turn. Could have probably won the game. Didn't. He came in, got a tackle on my missed, where they go, had a shot, and nailed it, and I think I lost 12-8. So, yeah, so my hopes and dreams crushed first round. Yeah, fantastic.
Did it ruin your weekend losing that first round?
I was gutted, but yeah. No, it definitely didn't, didn't ruin the weekend.
If you had the choice, I've always asked myself this, would you prefer to lose round one and get it out of the way? Would you prefer to lose in the final? What do you think would eat at you more?
Losing the final, reckon. Would eat.
No, I reckon round one.
Losing round one pissed me off, but it. But after that, I think you loosen up as well, and then you just, you know, you're not as worried about the result. You just play, you know, you're probably a bit more relaxed in the game.
Have fun, yeah.
Yeah, round one crushes hopes. A round one loss crushes your hope. You know,
I wasn't asking that because I've lost finals. I was asking, it's a genuinely interesting question, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Valid question, because I think you naturally, and in any competitive tournament, you naturally will go over the games afterwards. And I think the more critical the game, you will toss it over in your head. And I think if you get to that final, and you'd probably be able to talk from experience that, you know, I haven't been in too many finals, so I can't really say, you know, losing a final or winning a final and how I felt afterwards. But you'll toss it over in your head, and I can only assume that those early games, yeah, you go, oh, I lost it. But then I can't make the assumption, oh, had I won that, then I would have gone, you know, 3-1, 4-0, because I would have played completely different people had I won that. So you kind of just draw the line there and go, okay, made a bad decision, shouldn't have done that, won't do that again, and that's it. So, yeah.
Campbell, I would hate, I always hate losing round one. It's the worst feeling in the world. Like, if you lose a final, you can at least go, okay, well, got to the end table, you know, did my best, or like played like shit in my end game and lost it. But, you know, fucking coming second is better than scrumming out. First,
you just trying to get me to go to counselling?
We've all got our own coping strategies. I just like fucking force eat and masturbate. So
yeah,
you know, if you want,
I don't have a coping strategy. My coping strategy is try not to lose.
Try not to lose. So okay, what happened to you then, round one?
Me or Deno?
Deno, go Deno. He doesn't need coping, so he's obviously won that round. So what happened, mate?
Mate, I played a regular opponent of mine. His name's David Searle. He would later be the captain of the Queensland side. Absolutely lovely bloke. Has been chipping away at the game of Gilmore for a long, long time. Has not made any significant improvement that I can observe. You laugh, but it's actually true. No, he's a fucking legend, right? But I swear to God, he gets worse every time I play him. Because, anyway, so in this game, I lost the role, and he said, I want you to kick off to me. I said, no problems. I set up my team. He then set up all six of his players on the right-hand side, so I walked up and kicked it to the left. and then I got the ball back. So what he did was he ran honor and quick timed to try and get the ball and came up short and realized that he then didn't have enough left to superior strategy mallet.
He just
clusterfucked his entire first turn and I crushed him. It was brutal. But somehow he managed to squeak out a goal with Flint, which was awesome. And he also managed to get a takeout on Gutter with his honor before I managed to close it out. 12-6 was the score.
That's respectable.
Not bad start to the tourney.
I played a guy called Caleb Wedge. Really awesome dude, like really lovely bloke. He was playing Fish, hasn't played much or has been away from the game for a while, so first turn 6 points, and then turn three found another 6 points, and that was pretty much it.
Found another 6 points? You just, like, they were just laying on the table there.
Just fucking
scooped them up.
Just obvious things, man. Just obvious things. You know, Obby just fucking loaded up, killed something. I think it was greed, and then shot a goal, so, yeah.
Just obulous stuff. Nice, nice. Well, I'm glad you both progressed to round two with your heads held high.
Feeling. Fantastic. Round eight. Good feeling.
I would know what that feels like. So, yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate for you.
Well, then,
sorry.
I just said, like, yeah, round two is where the wheels came off for me. So,
will you start us off then, buddy?
Yeah, I actually got matched against Peter from New Zealand, and it was a fucking epic game. He was playing Honor Masons, and the game opened. He was loading up for the Mallet Missile.
Can I ask what was his team? What
I think
team
it was
did he choose?
Honor, Marbles, Mallet, Mist. Let's see.
Decimate.
Yeah, Decimate.
Brick.
And, Brick, that's right.
Did he go Brick? Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, like, the first turn was just about me trying to counter the Mallet Missile, and I actually threw Ghast forward with my Puppet Master, just so that Mallet didn't have a line on Obulus, who had the ball, and that if he went into Ghast, he'd be forced to give me some momentum. And we actually finished that first round at even, and I won that initiative roll. And the next few turns are just, like, super, super grindy. And we both got to 8 points, and I think it was like turn five, we're both like down on clock, and I'm almost out of clock. And I loaded up Obulus after winning initiative. The ball was sitting next to Marbles, and I just fucking had a colossal brain fart. Decided, all right, charging in with Obby was the way to go. Not stopping to look at the table state and realizing that a Puppet Master on Marbles to pick up the ball, walk into Obby's melee range, fish for a tackle, and then scoot out and attempt to shoot a goal was the play that was on the table, could have won me the game. Instead, I fucked up because, you know, clock and shit play, and shit player, perhaps. Yeah, and he had two more takeouts, and that was game. And I think, like, that was a massive lesson for me in going, all right, if I'm down on clock and I'm going to be conceding a victory point through passing, may as well take as much time as I need to find the optimal activation. So it was disappointing. Peter's like a top-notch player, really, really good, and it was a good game. And, yeah, that was me.
So one thing I'll just observe, not about you, but just about playing at tournaments in general, is... You need to find more time, and whether that's opening strategy being quicker and knowing what you're doing in the first few turns and just smashing that out to buy yourself more time in the middle. But, I mean, my clock has never gone below 20 minutes in a tournament. So...
is that a case of knowing your team quite well as well? It's almost muscle memory at that point?
Oh, look, I think knowing your team is important. Knowing what your opponent's trying to do is important. But it's finding more time in the early parts of the game. It sounds dumb, but, like, you know, if you had an extra 5 minutes on your clock, do you think you would have taken the time to make that decision?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So take more time.
Absolutely. So my round two, I got paired up with Marcus. He's a Victorian pundit, so he'd come up. A couple of Victorian blokes came up. And a really nice guy. I don't remember actually receiving that many games. I reckon I lost the roll off a few times. So I kicked. I kicked off with Decimate. I did my usual where I basically load Decimate up, has a decent momentum return if the opponent doesn't actually know what you're kind of setting up for. And loaded up Decimate, did the tooled up plus bag of coffers. He kind of came up the ball, got the ball, came up the board, got the ball, but left Boiler way too close. Decimate goes in, kills Boiler, no worries. He then comes across, he gets the ball to Brisket, scores a goal, and then I kind of get the ball back. Now, he played an Ox lineup, and I had the Everest and Greed. I played the same team as I did in the last one, and so I had the extra activation. It got really fighty in the middle, and we were kind of basically punching it out, and I was winning that eventually. As soon as I worked out to stop punching Brisket, you know, with male kind of models, that, you know, it's not a fantastic thing.
Just don't fight Brisket. You never
win. Yeah, don't. Absolutely. And as soon as I turned on Ox, it just, like, you just obliterate him, especially, you know, when you've got a couple
unless
of
you've
guys.
Got Gutter, in which case she's fucking wrecked.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah. So, got the fight going in the middle, set up for a shot with Decimate after he'd scored. So this was turn two, or end of turn two. And playing into Tenderizer. I'd never played into Tenderizer before. And you've got to, the target number goes up by one, which, you know, I kind of knew, but didn't think about when I mapped out what I was doing. Bonus time to shot. I'm needing fives with four dice. Missed that. So then we kind of battle it on. I've got advantageous ball position. I've got him kind of pushed back, and I've got missed kind of threatening the goal. I've taken out Ox in the next turn. He brings him back on. I go and get the ball with missed. He brings Ox right next to missed. I do the, you know, where they go to 2 inches off, generate momentum, have a shot at goal, four dice. And at this point, I've actually lured Tenderizer out with the counter charge just to get him off the goal to drop the target number. Four dice, and naturally I'm going to miss one of those. So, yep, sure enough, misses that. And it got really grindy. The game basically got down to a couple of minutes left each. He was in front, so Marcus got to 10 before me, but then I managed to get a couple of kills and put myself up to 10. And then it pretty much came down to me getting enough momentum for the first activation of the next turn and having another shot at goal, and then generate, you know, loading up missed with four, generating enough, and then having another four dice shot and finally.
Are you sure you want to trust missed with that shit after the performance you've had so far?
Yeah, I wanted to just stomp on missed after that. Four dice shot. I've actually come to the conclusion that when I need a four dice shot, I should just roll three dice, see what happens, because I don't think I've missed a three dice shot, and then just roll the other one if those three don't come up. So I squeaked that one out with about 2 minutes to go, 12-10. Marcus was a top bloke. I felt bad because I think he thought he had it, but had I scored one of those goals earlier, I reckon I would have been in front and just taken the kills. So, yeah, no, it was a good game. Lesson I learnt from that one, though, was, you know your opposing models. I'd never played into Tenderizer, so that kind of messed with a few things. And then, you know, you spend a bit of time and talking about the whole clock scenario. I probably lost 5 minutes just working out how do I, you know, engage or drag him out or, you know, move him out of the way to be able to score a goal easier.
So the thing with Tenderizer, as you said, Jordan Mack said it, it's a shit strategy to rely on luck, but Tenderizer's actually got some pretty decent things that he does, and Rush Keeper is actually the main one. The target number thing's like a fuck off. Never going to actually matter to anyone that thinks about the stats of the game, but the Rush Keeper actually can cause your opponent to try and have to maneuver differently to get around the Rush Keeper, so that has value in taking their clock down. So
yeah, absolutely. Or you try to engage them, or, you know, you try to do weird janky things, and then you're basically sacrificing activations and influence to do that. So yeah,
I did get to live the dream with Tenderizer once, though, which was he was first activation and he was within walk range of Boar, who was already knocked down, and I had the owner up, and so my Tenderizer walked and was in range of four people and hit a knockdown Boar with the owner. So every ground pound was worth fucking whatever it is, four damage or something, five damage, and knocked every motherfucker down. It was awesome. Fucking awesome. When you can make that shit happen, he's the best. Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, but you don't plan around that.
No. My game, yeah. I played yes. Dion Toby, another Brisbane dude, a union player, vet rage guy, as I was talking about before. Lovely bloke. He decided to try and try a different team to see if he'd have a bit more success against me. So he had Snakeskin, Avarice and Greed, Minx, Mist, and Veteran Rage. So that was a cool team. He got a bit muddled up in the middle because I knocked down Minx and singled her out and then gutted, dragged three dudes in and scything blowed him to death. So that was pretty cool. And I scored a goal with my Mist. And that was pretty much it. I think he got a goal with his Mist, but that was by that stage it was all over by the shouting. So Dion, sorry mate, try harder next time.
And now, just on a little bit of a tangent, that one was recorded, or a few of the games were recorded. Where do people go to?
Yeah, that one was recorded.
No offense, poor Dion.
Absolutely great question, Campbell. How are you today, buddy?
Fantastic.
I got no idea.
Fantastic.
I got no idea. Yeah, I'm
we'll look that up, put it in the show notes. I'm guessing.
No, look, I do know. It's not Irresistible Force. It's actually Patrick McConnell, whose thing is Dice Locker. So you'll probably find it on Dice Locker.
Pat ran the tournament, right?
Yeah, so Gav, who is the owner of Irresistible Force, ran the Big Blue Convention and had obviously various people running the tournaments. Patrick McConnell ran the Guild Ball tournament.
Yeah,
so he will probably upload that. Yeah, he's a funny dude too.
Awesome dude.
Love Pat. Really, really good painter. You might not know. He's a fucking awesome painter.
Mm. Mm. Well, why don't you kick off with your round three, Trenton?
This was my game of the tournament. I played Peter, your round two opponent. This one was also recorded on
this
the main table.
This was the following
table,
day as well.
Cool.
Sort of everybody was fresh.
This was day two, Sunday morning. I knew I was playing Peter the night before. I checked a tie break, so I had a bit of time to think about it. It was the one game I actually considered playing Rage in, but in the end I decided to stick with Decimate. And the main reason for that was actually threat range and her capacity for dodges and second wind. So I lost the roll, so I was kicked off. Kicked off with Blackheart. The entire first turn set up to try and charge a model on his team, which was either brick or marbles, and I had the ability to do that, but I would have had to use my legendary to do so. So in the end, I decided not to. He was obviously setting up with his Mist on the other side. His team was Mist, Decimate, Brick, and Chisel. So he set up for a Mist goal with his last activation. And my second to last activation, I played Tracking Back with Greed to stop him from scoring the goal, or at least make him reconsider going for goal, which he did. He did reconsider. So he held on to the ball, held on to the initiative, and he won the roll, and he said, "You're going first." And I said, "You can't do that, you fucking dickhead." We checked it, he can. So I had to go first again. I was hoping I'd go second because then superior strategy has no impact on me. But he made me go first. So again, I loaded up Blackheart, set up to try and charge Brick by just sort of moving other guys around and putting second wind out and stuff and, you know, just fucking around. I ended up moving my gutter forwards to try and threaten Brick. It's a long-winded story, but it'll end quickly, I promise. I played this really cagey game from the start to try and not, give away a player cheaply, because he had Honor sitting there with a full load and, Marbles ready to potentially walk in. So I had to not go too aggressive, and I gave him a charge on Gutter if he wanted to take it with Honor, but the turn that he wanted to take it, he couldn't put second wind on Honor because Decimate was too far away. And that was a key point in the game, because if he had had second wind, he would have taken Gutter with no reprisal and suddenly would have been on 6 points. So He scored a goal. I took the ball on Blackheart and scored a snap-back goal. And I won initiative, and I killed Brick. And then I, in the same turn that I killed Brick, I used my legendary, and I turned around and charged Honor, who I'd snuck up the side of the field, and knocked that bitch down. And his next activation, he obviously didn't have any momentum, was to generate some momentum to try and stand up Honor. But I ran Gutter over, and thanks to Commanding Aura, I killed Honor before she activated it with 6 influence on her.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's massive.
Yeah. And so from there, he had the ball and he had, you know, good field position and all that sort of stuff. But I was on 8 and he was on 4. So he went for a pass to try and put Chisel into space and get her away from my team. Missed the 4 dice pass with Honor, who'd come back on the board, which left Decimate within walking range to attack Chisel, which she did. She got a momentous tackle double dodge and walked into goal shooting range and slotted a goal for the win. But I was on 10 at that stage, and I had Blackheart with marbles ready to go as well the following turn. So, yeah, really good game. Really enjoyed it. The turning point was definitely Honor getting killed with a full stack. And I was able to set that up the previous turn. So, yeah, cool game. He's a good dude, Peter.
As a question, and I play Peter later on. Do you look at someone's team and actually assign them, go, look, is that a killy kind of team, or is that, you know, is that the scoring kind of team? Did you look at his list and go and try to anticipate what style of play he was going to go for? Because obviously Masons can...
That's the thing. If it was any other team, you probably could, but Masons is really a team you can't do that, because you know that they can flex from game plan to game plan very easily. When I looked at his team, I felt like it was a balanced roster that was going to go for probably 2 goals, 2 takeouts. Honor's just absolute bitch to try and pin down. She can score some goals from, you know, extremely unexpected places, because she's got a momentous 1 damage double dodge on 2 hits. She can go a long fucking way in a turn. But she's also, you know, with tooled up and potentially the monkey, she can crank out a lot of damage too. So yeah, it looked like a 2-2 team to me. But I didn't sort of consciously think about that and how I'd try to stop him. I think it's more about sort of shutting down specific things that they're trying to do.
Yeah, and seeing how the game kind of rolls out and just anticipating them. No, that's fine.
Yeah, you can't sort of go into a game of Guild Ball with a specific plan, because after about the first 2 activations, the plan will usually be dead and you'll have to start thinking on your feet, which is one of the reasons why I love it. It's a very reactive, interesting game.
Oh, absolutely. I love the fact that you know, when I used to play War Machine, you could sit there in Dojo for hours and hours and try to come up with, you know, janky ways of doing things. And because you don't have that, you know, you get to activate all your models at once, you can come up with a synergy that kind of works. Whereas you can't Dojo. I mean, you can think about how something's going to roll out, but a lot of the Guild Ball is just what happens on the table. So
it's being able to adapt to situations. I take comfort in that,
being able to basically walk to the table and go, yeah, no worries, I'm comfortable in my skill and I can, you know, adapt to what I think is going to happen and how you read the play, and it's your ability
which is another one of the reasons why time is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I agree. Having fucked myself on clock, I think that's a big lesson.
So I ended that game with 20 minutes on my clock.
All right.
Seems good.
Yep, that doesn't hurt. Don't rub it in.
So, day 2, we also looked on tiebreak, and Dave and I got paired up against each other, which was super sad times, given we crank out at least 2 games.
Really?
Yeah, against each other.
Fuck shit.
So, that was... neither of us wanted to do it. It was a shit sandwich, basically, because neither of us wanted to play each other. And in a tournament, you kind of just want to see your mates do well without, you know, having to play them. And if you did, you kind of want to do it at the end of the top end of the spectrum. But both of us had lost the game, so that's the way it kind of rolled out. Dave, do you want me to start it off?
Go on. You can tell your fucking story of glory.
Well,
did he roll you? Holy shit, I didn't know that. That's awesome. I must have put the fear of God into you of Blackheart.
So, to be honest, I reckon Dave dominated most of the game. So, I kicked to you early on. You went up 4-0 pretty easily.
Yeah, first turn goal with missed, and then start of the second turn kill decimate. Like up 6-0, start of turn two.
How'd you lose?
Well.
Yeah. Look, it became basically that kind of fist fight in the middle, and so I kind of learned a few different tricks with, you know, how to win that around Ghast or, you know, ganging up, that kind of thing. I reckon you got to... I'm just trying to remember how I got back into the game. I know where my second goal came from. I basically parked the ball next to an obstruction, like in my deployment zone, and for a while I just kind of sat there and let you come at me. What I'd found in a couple of the warm-up games in that where I was overextending and, you know, either sending someone in on their own, and Blackheart's team likes to kind of fight as a group. So I kind of sat there for a bit. There was a point at which you then brought, I think it was probably turn three, you brought Silence up and tucked Blackheart, I'm pretty sure. And at that point I went, well, I had him fully loaded. The ball was sitting within an inch behind him that I'd basically dropped to avoid the whole Puppet Master shenanigans. And so I was like, okay, no worries. I was within enough to get a charge off, a couple of the Blackheart, you know, shenanigan dodges, and then get a goal. So I basically went in, did that. So I went 2-4. I reckon I killed Dirge at this stage. Is that right?
Yeah, you killed Dirge. Then you
That's where I kind of... So I brought it back to 6. I reckon you'd gone to 8 at that point, though.
I'm not sure what I killed, but anyway, I was at 8, and I was looking for the ball to come back out so I could score a goal with it.
Yeah, and you kicked it back out. Or you got it to Obulus in the middle.
Yep.
I didn't have fantastic options. Basically, the pitch was... All of our models were to your left, my right, so we're all on that kind of half of the pitch, and there were a couple of models to the left.
To the left!
And then my mist was kind of in the middle. I'd loaded my mist up, anticipating that I need to basically get a double kind of goal turn. Where'd they go? Over some rough ground. It was like an L-shaped into like this little pocket. Charge Obulus. Now, at this point, I need... So I'm rolling 8 dice. I need to get the wrap because you're basically going to counter, get the ball back or knock me down, you know, do whatever. So I'm charging.
You need a double dodge and a tackle to wrap.
Yeah. So I need six dice. Is that right? Yeah. Because I need to get 5 successes. My dice explode. I get 7 successes. Dave wasn't too pumped about, and understandably, like statistically, that's not fantastic. So I basically get the double dodge straight off him because you'd moved away, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
And then had the momentum, had the shot, scored the goal, went to 10. And then at that point, we played the rest of that turn out, but I was basically threatening the momentum race, I think.
Yeah, you were one up. You got it. You took out your last guy.
Yeah, so then I basically had Blackheart to Greed, couldn't get away, even though you still had an activation. I chased Greed, legendary, to make sure I could get an angle on him and then steamroll at him or just basically.
And at the end of that game, the legend of Magic Dice Dandy was born.
Just don't ask me to take 4 dice shots a goal.
Yeah, it was a good game, though. It was a cracker of a game.
To be fair, yeah, I reckon you controlled it for most of it. I think that one kind of bit in the middle, I had to take that risk at that point. Otherwise, I was down basically 8-6. You get the ball to your mist, you score a goal, win the game. So
yeah, that was the plan. Yep. So that happened.
Yeah, so that was round 3. So we moved on to round 4. Now, bearing in mind, so this tournament was a play till there's a winner. Is that what it's called, Trent? Basically, there's a...
He's just listening. He's listening to you freestyle, man.
I'll start rapping.
There's a fucking format, which is, yeah, play till there's one undefeated, which I think is what it was. Whatever it was, there was 3 undefeated players at this point. So there was a chance that if the pair down lost, then this would be the final table of the 2 undefeated players. However, the pair down won, we would go to a 5th round.
Yeah. So,
spoiler alert, the power down got fucking flogged.
Yeah. So,
who was the power down?
So it was actually Jesse Heiss from Melbourne.
Tobias.
And he played Tobias. Yeah. Now, in poor Jesse's defense, Tobias and I had quite a few games over the last 6 months. I played Butchers into him on many an occasion, and he is pretty up to speed now on Butchers and Engineers. Engineers are a really interesting team to try and play against. If your opponent plays them well, they can be surprising with what they do. Like, a lot of people very much underrate Engineers currently.
Yeah.
His team was awesome. Tobias's team. He had Gutter, Rage, Compound, and Velocity with Ballista, and he won it with a snapshot that he'd set up for. It was awesome. Rage passed the ball to Velocity and snapshotted for the win.
Oh, that's fucking mad.
Yeah.
Tobias is a dude. I really like that guy. And Jesse as well. They're both awesome people.
Seriously, Tobias, of all the people I've ever met, he is definitely one of them.
He lived in Adelaide for a while.
He's a Radelaide boy.
No, nice bloke. Yeah. Round 4, I played Dion Toby. It was I won it. What does it say here? 1-4, 12-6. So it was an okay game. I can't remember much of it. Dion's nice. Good guy.
Oh, he's a lovely guy, Dion. Yeah, he's an absolute superstar.
Yeah.
Super nice. We're really lucky in Brisbane. We've got, really absolutely awesome bunch of guys that play Guild Ball. We had quite a few people not be able to turn up, unfortunately, because of various reasons. So the turnout was probably lower than we would have hoped. But I never really worry too much about numbers. I worry more about did the people have a good time? Did I have good games? I've played in tournaments where there was 128 players and I've had fucking 4 shit games because the 4 people I played were just absolute spastics. Whereas I've played in a 16-player tournament where I had 4 games that were absolutely crackers because the 4 people were really good guys. So, as long as the people you got attending are good, I don't worry too much about the numbers.
Well, didn't you drive half of those away? Half of the expansion was away because, nobody wanted to play.
That's pretty much it. Nobody wanted to play me, so...
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. I was just going to say something abusive, so let's move on.
That's all good. Yeah. So round 4, we'll leave Dan until last, so I'll go. Mine was pretty uneventful. So I got to play Peter, and this is why I kind of got to that killy, scory question. I kicked off again. Fantastic. He didn't play the... I don't think he brought Avarice and Greed, did he?
No, he didn't have Avarice and Greed. I actually said to him, have you got Avarice and Greed? He said, no. I said, well, I don't think you can beat me. That's exactly what I said to him. But if you had Avarice and Greed, you could utilize Superior Strategy as a big, big turning point. But without Avarice and Greed, Superior Strategy is basically a waste of 4 influence. It's 4 influence to give a model 5 influence. Cool.
Yeah, fantastic. So he rolled out the same team that he did against you. Obviously, he'd learned a few things against you. I kicked to him. He basically, set up to come down one side with Miss and get that first turn goal. And this is another lesson I learned in the tournament. And it's basically, once again, it's, minimize your mistakes. I set up to... so he kicks the goal. I still had an activation. I had my Decimate loaded up. He was smart enough to keep out of threat range. That's fine. I probably should have been kicking with Blackheart just because I've had Blackheart's got a better threat range. Had Decimate, so I was like, okay, no worries. Kicked the ball in the middle, which I was kind of dominating, so Decimate could pick it up. I then second win Decimate to get over onto his Decimate, who I've got crowded out. And then at this point, then the turn's about to end. I'm like, fantastic. Forgot to play immediate response. So we're at a straight dice roll as opposed to me having a +2 on the dice roll, which was what I basically counted on.
Clutch play, Campbell.
Strong. Noob. So this is where the game fell apart. I lose. We actually tie on the roll and then we re-roll. He wins it. At that point, I've basically given him the ball because I've got decimate next to his decimate with the ball. So he steals it back and then controls it. And, yeah, he then shifted gears to a very football-y style of game, pushed it back up the side but made sure he controlled it. And I just – once you kind of get down by two goals, so I got a takeout, he got another goal. But when you're down by two and they're within a goal of winning, it's – yeah, it's super sad times. He had missed. He was just slowly punching greed to death in my backfield, and I think he got honour into the backfield. And then killed off, was it Decimate? Oh, I dicked around with it a bit. He kills Greed with Mist, and then I think he killed my Decimate because I kind of had to play for the momentum race instead of healing. So sad times. Got my ass handed to me. Learned a lot, little lessons.
Would you say that he rocked your world, Campbell?
Yeah, fantastic. I like Kiwis. It was... Yeah, I learned a lot from just simply, you know, doing the little things. I found, you know, when you talk about tempo in a game, I found that, yeah, making silly decisions and not playing cards basically killed my tempo. And then also at that point, I kind of lost my, you know, my way in terms of what I was trying to do because I'd set up to be able to get a takeout plus a goal, go 6-4 up, and then, you know, push him back. He's played quite back from my team, then I just basically come into him. So, yeah, no, it was good.
Yep.
So, Mr. Trent Dennison, round four. Yes. Who did you get?
As we said before, there was three undefeated. So Jesse was the one who unfortunately drew the pair down. I drew another Brisbane local by the name of Squinty. Matthew Amos. He's a good kid. We've played a number of times. The last time we played was at the Little Scrap, which was basically the warm up version of the Big Blue. We gave ran a little tournament at the same venue about 2 months ago. We played a game and I played Blackheart and he played Butchers and I went through him like a hot knife through butter. The game was recorded, and Paddy forgot to start the clock, and forgot to start the record. And he's like, "Oh fuck, I forgot to start the record." And he came over and he looked at the table. He said, "What's the score?" I said, 8-0. It was like six. It was like 6 minutes in. And he's like, "Okay, should I bother recording?" I said, "You can if you want. It's only got about another 2 minutes to go."
So did we get those 2 minutes on tape? That's the big question. We want to see that.
Look, in this game, he had Fillet, which was cool. Sort of was expecting him. He normally plays Ox, so I wasn't expecting him to play Fillet, which threw me for a little bit. But I had lost the role, and so I was kicking off, which gave me the advantage of having last choice. He chose Fillet as his last player, and I put Hemlock on the board. I kicked off to a position he couldn't retrieve the ball. I got a habit of doing that. And I got the ball back, and I scored, and I set up for some scything blows. I got two takeouts. He scored a goal, and then I scored another goal to win the game. Pretty much... about 20 minutes again. So.
Yeah. It's kind of anticlimactic.
I had a number of people say to me on the weekend, "Oh, geez, you had a really good run." I was like, "Yeah, I play guys I play against pretty regularly." So, I guess in that sense, that was lucky. I sort of know their game plans. I know how to beat them. In many of those cases, you know, like most of the guys I play regularly, they've all beaten me at some point. You never know. Sometimes you can miss a four dice goal shot with tap in.
That can happen, apparently. I didn't think it was possible.
Yep, magic dice. What was your favourite game, Trent?
Oh, look, the Peter game was great. I'd really like to play him again. I'd like it if he moved to Brisbane. Pete, he's moved to Brisbane, mate. He was really good. He's a really good player. Really nice guy to play. You know, like when you play a game and you're just like, you don't sort of have to talk to your opponent because you're like, you know what he's about to do. You know, he knows what you're doing. It was just sort of that, you know, like he would move a model and I'd be like, casting second wind. He's like, yep. I'd move a model. He'd be like, oh, yeah. Where'd they go? Yep, yep. So that was cool. Just a very relaxed game. And the early stages of the game, what set me up for the win, and it was because I didn't overextend. I didn't overcommit to try and get back in the game. I knew that although he had the ball, that I had an advantage in board position, and that as soon as he scored a goal, I would suddenly have the position. So, and that's exactly what happened. He scored a goal, and I was able to then just capitalize from there. So, yeah, that was my favorite game. It was good. I did enjoy smashing U12 too, though, as well.
Yeah, I had fun too. I got to set my stuff up, move it around a bit, pack it up. It was awesome. Yeah. I'd do that again.
In when I play golf with my friends, we have an expression which is you just got to hit it past the ladies, mate. So you managed to get on the board, so you hit it past the ladies. Well done.
Yeah, thanks. I'm proud of that one. Actually, I like my game against Peter as well. Really strong player. Like, just I have never been so mentally taxed playing that game. I felt like I was in it up until just bad mistake.
So yeah, fun fact, you're kicking yourself after the game. You're like, I just figured out how I could have fucking beaten him. And I'll just let everyone know that what you initially thought you could do was wrong. So you were thinking that on a Puppet Master you could move a player, snap the ball, and then unsnap the ball. You cannot unsnap unless it is a player's activation. You can
were
snap.
Tackle though, weren't you?
We worked that out afterwards.
He worked that out after I told him that's what you could do.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So you can snap it though?
But you can snap a ball, yep. So I actually did it to Nips in a game, right? He was playing Hammer, and I was playing Obulus, and he was like, thinking he was so clever, he got the ball with Mist and then unsnapped it behind him, and he's like, yeah, what are you going to do about it now, mate? So I Puppet Mastered Mist to walk forward and snap the ball, and it's not like he could unsnap it because he'd already activated Mist, so that was it. Hammer's now got a 10-inch threat range. I was just like, okay, I'll stay outside of 10 inches of you. I also tackled the ball, got it to my Mist, and the rest is history. I think before he got to roll a dice in that game, the score was 8-0, and Hammer was in the box, so that was fun.
There you go. Yeah.
Good work.
Yep. No, I think I came away from that tournament just going, all right, there's a lot of stuff that I've learned that I'm going to, take on board and apply when I play in future. I have no regrets at all about heading up north and, you know, playing games with people because, you know, firstly, I met some fucking awesome dudes that weekend. You know, just a whole bunch of really awesome people. The games were consistently fun, even when I had to play Trent Dennison. And, you know, like, what a quality event. Like, that just, it ran really smoothly. There were great prizes on offer. You know, the food was good. The location was good. Queensland's a beautiful state. If you ever get an opportunity to go there, fuck, man, like, just top weekend.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really good. I mean, other than the fact that, I mean, Steamforge, shout out to them for the amount of stuff they basically sent us down. My only disappointment was there was no alt sculpt Mist. That's basically all I came for.
It's because Deno gobbled them up.
We did actually get told that we were going to get four of them. And then
shipment didn't arrive.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't that the shipment didn't arrive. The shipment arrived, but I think they had actually their distributor hadn't cast them, so they didn't have them to send. So they had to do without.
There you go.
So, I'll get back onto Jamie about that.
And there was an awesomely painted Hunters team up for grabs too. Lucky door prize.
That was all right.
They were okay.
Don't be a fucking idiot, mate. They were awesome.
They look good. Maybe a few too many twigs for my liking. That was my only criticism. A lot of twigs. Whoever painted them, man, I got a twig fetish. I don't even want to think about what that means.
Dendrophilia, I think it's called, isn't it?
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, they looked good. They went home with Jesse as well. You know, he came fourth. He played a fucking awesome tournament, and that seems like a fitting home.
Yeah, the one thing that I, I was hoping that the team, anytime you do a lucky dip prize like that, you just hope that it doesn't go to the fucking scrubber that's at the shop every week. You know, you hope it goes to someone who's travelled a long way to come to the tournament, you know.
Mm.
Paid a lot of money.
Mm.
So, which it did.
Well, he got his money's worth, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Any big takeaway for you for that tournament, Trenton? You know? You excited for Worlds? Are you, like, worried about any particular players you might have to match up against?
I don't really get worried anymore. Let's just talk about sort of play and competing for a little bit. Like, when I've played in a lot of tournaments and I've played in a lot of, I guess, high pressure situations, you know, like finals and things like that. And after you win one and you take that arbitrary pressure that you put on yourself to perform, like, off, like you sort of, in your own head, you establish yourself as, yeah, I can actually do this, I can compete. You stop sort of like stressing about the actual results, and in a way, that's one of the reasons why I tend to do really well, is because I can just remove the results from the equation. I just sort of think about playing the game, and that's a really, like, wanky thing to sort of say, but the moment that you stop focusing on the result and start, you know, thinking about the game and, you know, optimum sort of things you can do in the game, it's when you'll start doing better. So yeah, like I'm really looking forward to Worlds, the World Championships. I think it'll be a great experience. I'm just looking forward to catching up with, you know, the Steamforge guys who I've got a fairly good relationship with, being on the Lawyers Guild. I talk to a lot of them fairly regularly. I'm obviously friends with Jamie from a long while back, so it's going to be great to see him. We don't get to catch up that often, and, you know, these sorts of opportunities are rare as hen's teeth, so looking forward to that. Obviously, Matt, who stayed with us down at CanCon. Were you guys at CanCon? I don't remember.
No.
Yeah, suck shit. yeah, so I'm looking forward to catching up with him. We spent sort of 4 days together, which was awesome, at CanCon, so... yeah, I think there's 8 people that are playing in the tournament. The American and the Canadian Jordans are both coming. The European winner, I can't remember. Do you know who the European winner was?
Tim.
Tim on German nationals.
The German, and then we've still got to come.
The Irish and British this weekend and a couple of weekends from now.
And
so
they're running a last chance qualifier as well.
Two last chance qualifiers. Yeah. One on the Friday and one on the Saturday. So
that should make it interesting.
Yeah, look, I'm not sort of really planning, you know, anything too serious. I've got access to 5 teams painted that I could play. Morticians, Butchers, Union, Fishermen and Hunters. I'm probably still tossing up at the moment which way I want to go. I think I'm the strongest guild I play is Butchers, probably followed by Union, Fish, Hunters, and then Morticians. I think I'm a very, very average Mortician player. But I've just got to decide sort of what I'm going over there to achieve. I'd like to compete in the best painted category, I think, as well as do well. So my Morticians team is probably my best painted. Fucking right. Shit Morticians. Right. Why the fuck do they have to be so shit? I hate playing Morticians.
You don't like them?
Nah, they're fucking defensive and boring.
Yeah, maybe that's why I like them.
Yeah, they're just very, very defensive.
Fuck you, Dano, they're not.
I'm not a defensive player. No. You just get defensive then. Was that a very, very average attempt at a pun?
It was a terrible attempt at a pun.
You are a fucking disgrace.
Thank you. Thank you. I was busting out the dad jokes tonight, so much so that my daughter and my wife told me to leave the room. So I feel like...
Brilliant.
You know, I've just hit my straps as an adult male of, you know, between 30 and 40 years of age.
Brilliant.
Well done.
Thanks, mate. Thanks. Little victories.
Little victories.
So do you find, Deno, sorry, just talking about the fact that you don't like Morticians, do you, so the idea of an aggressor and like a reactor, I know Guild Ball, obviously, depending upon how the kind of the flow of the game's kind of going, but you prefer that aggressive kind of role?
I've always played aggressive armies, teams, factions. Yep. I played Kricks in War Machine. I used to play Wood Elves, and I played this fucking stupid Chaos Warriors army in Warhammer. And yeah, in this particular game, I think the reason for that is sort of a it's based on the way I like to play games. I'm not a defensive person. I like to basically put multiple bad choices in front of someone and wait for them to make the wrong one.
Yep.
And then capitalize on that. And the way you do that is by being proactive. I think when you play Morticians, you have to just be patient and wait for your opponent to make a mistake, and then you capitalize on that. So you have to be very patient and react to what they're doing. Whereas I want to be putting models on the table that force them to make a change to their strategy. I want them to go, oh, fuck, I've got to try and counter that, or otherwise I'm going to get wrecked. It's kind of a very high-level way that I try to approach a game.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Because I guess my next question was going to be, but you've kind of answered it. Yeah, is it possible to have that in Guild Ball? Because I've always toyed with the idea of, okay, you know, everyone wants to win and go first. And it was interesting in your Peter game where he actually won the role for one of the turns and then told you to go first based on, you know, wanting to be the reactive or the secondary player. Other than, like, Morticians, do you think it's, you know, possible to have reactive style teams that will just sit back, you know, like your engineers or your alchies, and
I think Hunters, start a strong game? Hunters are in a nutshell that sort of team.
Yep.
But it Hunters are sort of, you have to be forcing your opponent to react to you by the way that you position your models, but it's not like an aggressive way. It's because you're sort of you're defending a position. Yeah, so I think Hunters are a very sort of reactive team that will often not go first, will go second. Morticians, obviously. Engineers probably do want to go first in a lot of situations, so they can look for a ballista knockdown or an unstoppable pin vice goal. Yeah, it's probably Morticians, Masons, and Hunters are the only ones that really want to play that defensive style of game.
Part of the reason why I asked it was I do play a lot of Alkies. I didn't bring them because I think they're not quite there yet. But last night, Dave and I played a couple of games, and I proxied Vet Catalyst. And I just think he brings the ability to basically just sit back off the opponent with smoke. So playing a smoke list with Vitriol, where you can basically let them come into you. If they come into you, then he just wrecks face. You've already got poison all over them. And then you've got a couple of models that are really good at just pinging straight up the board and scoring from, you know, decent threat ranges away. And I kind of think that's their missing link in terms of, you know, their ability to play that reactive style sit-back game.
I think Alchemists are sort of on the spectrum of, you know, they talk about goal scoring versus takeouts, and then you have the sort of the control versus condition spectrum. I think they sit in between for takeouts and goal scoring, slightly more towards goal scoring, and obviously very heavy on the condition play. So in that sense, they are sort of an aggressive team. You don't do a lot of control with Alchemists. You tend to deny what's happening your opponent with clone, but
yep.
But yeah, they're not really what I would call a control team. So I think you'll find that they're still a team that wants to be fairly aggressive, and doesn't play that defensive game. I think the way I've played Alchemist and the way I've seen Alchemist played well is you're constantly driving Midas and Vitriol down your opponent's throats, just going, I got two models here that can take out one of your players, and you need to do something about them, or I'm either going to score a goal or take out a player.
Mm. Yep, yep.
Yeah, asking questions.
Yeah, exactly the same sort of thing I was talking about before. So,
man, I wish the Hunters had like a harpoon or a chain grab or something like that. That would be just incredible.
I used to have, I don't know if you listened, but Jamie was talking about them on Guild Ball Tonight once where Zerola used to actually move enemy models, not friendly models. like nice. A lure, but she could move them.
Yeah.
They had to change it because it was too powerful.
Yeah, I bet it was.
When you got Cena and Jaykar, you can just straight murder guys. And
yeah, drag in, die.
Drag in. You wait for a model to activate. Zerola runs forward, uses a free Blessing of the Sun Father, and that's the game over.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't sound like a fun experience.
Not long now. New captain. New lease on life. Everybody will be playing Hunters. Can't wait.
Didn't Jamie talk about the new captain or something on a podcast or some shit I heard?
I haven't heard anything official about it, no. Just that there will be another one coming sort of ahead of official Season 3, so they'll stagger the releases in the same way they did for Season 2.
Well, I thought he got on a podcast like singled out or something and talked about
I haven't heard anything.
I'm just captain. I've been wrong before. Once.
Look at you.
When I was six.
He's such a fucking has-been.
Has-been.
Yeah. Yep. Man, how do you feel about Twitter as a medium for trading insults?
I love Twitter. Twitter's my favourite. When I used to have a podcast, we started off and we were like, yeah, we'll do a Facebook site and shit. And then we all got on Twitter. We're just like, Twitter is the best. I fucking love Twitter. Now I prefer Twitter as a medium for social media over Facebook. I feel like if you can't say something in 140 characters, it's probably not worth saying.
Yeah, sometimes I find myself trying to write a novel on Twitter, and it just doesn't happen.
Just brevity, things like, man. You know, don't vote for Trump. You can elaborate on that, but fundamentally, that's your message, right?
I love that Trump gif where somebody is, like, taking out his nose, and he looks like a frog.
Yeah. One that's actually serious that I read, which is, hey, congratulations on not raping someone behind a dumpster today. That one actually, like, that's Twitter in a nutshell for me. I think that's why Twitter exists.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Did you hear about that guy?
Yeah,
Brock
did.
Turner.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Yep.
Anyway, that was a bit of a downer.
Happy times. Sorry.
Let's talk more about how awesome I am.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're a. It's like you're a caricature of yourself, but you're not. It's just,
It's entertaining. So you met me for the first time on the weekend.
Yep.
And I'm sure that you were not disappointed, but you can tell everyone that you weren't disappointed if you want.
No, man, it was good fun. It was nice. People think you're a buffhead, right? And to be fair, you're a bit of a buffhead, but once you get past that, you're a fucking top bloke.
Yeah. No, but I am a buffhead, eh?
A little bit.
Well, on that note, we should probably thank Mr. Trent Dennison for not only driving us to and then from the tournament, but also coming on our ridiculous podcast.
As I said before, you're welcome.
You're a champ. Hopefully we'll see you at CanCon. We'll make our best to get up there, definitely. So
hopefully you'll see me.
Definitely, maybe almost.
At Worlds on the live stream, you clown.
Fuck yeah, mate.
Yeah.
You better smash it.
Well, if the games aren't going that long, we might not
see me on the stream.
Exactly. We'll just see the aftermath, the explosion on Twitter.
No, look, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good luck. All the best on that. We'll definitely get you back on. You are very generous with your time, so I'm sure we can annoy the fuck out of you to get you back on.
Yeah, say bye to Toya for us as well. That chick's awesome.
She's asleep. She actually just sent me a message saying, shut the fuck up. I was like, okay. Sorry.
Stop hiding your
She
monsters.
Did say that. She's like, stop talking so loud, you fucking dickhead. I was like, okay, sorry.
Go rearrange the balcony.
Yeah, go rearrange the balcony for me, you fucking idiot.
The feng shui's off.
Brilliant.
All right, mate.
Thanks, dudes.
And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Trent and Toya. It's quite insightful, especially the furniture moving department and understanding, you know, the intricacies of a relationship in gaming. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I felt like there was some pretty good feng shui at the end of that. Certainly, I felt better as the talk progressed. You know, I also enjoyed Trent. Just heaping shit upon me for my 12-2 loss to him as if it was something special.
Yes, yes. No, he's good at that. He likes to lay it on. I probably, in hindsight, should have dished a little bit more out to him about beating him because, you know, naturally the way title belts kind of work, I think I have the wood on him. So, therefore, if he can't make it to the Worlds, I think surely I should claim that title and be able to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's a controversial position, Campbell, but I understand the emotional basis for you making that claim.
Yeah, and I will claim that. In fact, I might just never play him again, so I've always got that on him. I don't know.
You'll always have Queensland, mate.
Yeah. So, no, I thought that was a really good episode. There were a couple of shout-outs I just thought of that I'd like to do. One was to TNG Productions. They've got online. They're a YouTube channel, and check them out. Georgie gave us a shout-out in one of their episodes, and I just want to show the love back. Yeah, they have some really insightful analysis of different players and guilds, which I really like. So definitely worth jumping on YouTube and checking them out.
Yeah, and her love of Australian men is mirrored by your love of British women. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's like it's very Hakuna Matata, man. It's circle of life stuff right there.
Yeah. Oh. And the other one I was going to say, shout out to a couple of other guys, Marcus, the pundit from Victoria. He's a good bloke. I got to play him. We did record and obviously chatted about that game I got to play against to him. And also I love just shouting out Mr. Tim Wyatt, our local pundit. He's an absolute legend. He came up to the Nationals in Queensland, and he was just a great bloke all around, good for a beer, and is always good for a rules question. So.
Yeah, we love Timmy. He's the best.
He's a champ.
Yep. So I don't think we have anything else we need to cover off on, do we? I think that's about it.
No. We'll be back ASAP. We'll hopefully be interviewing the next champion from the next country. We've basically got the Irish champs, Nationals, and the British, and that's it, I think. And then there's the six that go to Worlds.
Man, I am looking forward to Worlds. I really am. Yes. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. I was going to launch into a tirade about having to tape my penis to my leg because I'm that erect. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, don't do that. That's definitely not a good idea.
Makes it awkward walking past kindergartens, I tell you.
Brilliant.
On that note,
that was another episode of Double Dodge.
Episode 6, we didn't think we'd get here.
Freaking bear.